Yeah, in fact, since everything started become a lot bigger on social media, especially Instagram, I'd be playing games and the crowd would say, "Hey, I've seen you on Instagram." They'll try to take me out of my game talking about my TikTok and my Instagram. Other teams would talk about me. Other people on campus be like, "Hey, I saw you on my For You page or my Explore page the other day. That's wild."
Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always. Today is Leap Day, Thursday, February 29th. Really special guest. Jonathan Brown is coming on the show. Plays college basketball here from London, England. Really interesting conversation. A lot of kind of cultural stuff. He's played at a few different schools, so talking about the different levels. Some nuanced basketball stuff, some kind of just kind of light conversation stuff. So I really, really enjoyed speaking to him. Interesting guy.
Yeah, no, it was very cool. I'm glad you found him because I don't have TikTok, so I wouldn't been able to figure out who it is. But yeah, you don't think about basketball in England very much. And so that was kind of interesting to hear.
Yeah. So, I mean, speaking of how I found him, I was just on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. And like, he had a real, do you know, have you seen John Mulaney's like comedy thing? One of his comedy shows. So he has a thing where he's talking to his dad, and John Mulaney's like, "Well, I was on the bench." And his dad's like, "Well, where were you?" And he's like, "I was on the bench." And the dad's like, "Well, what were you doing?" He's like, "I was over on the bench."
Oh, that's and, good.
Like, he did that, like, showing clips of him on the bench. It was just super funny.
Yeah.
So then I just DM'd him and was like, "Hey, you want to come on the show, man?" So we'll get to that interview. We got to start with the ick of the week, of course.
Of course.
Got to start there. Then we'll get to the interview. Then we'll do some NFL Combine stuff because we're watching that as we record. Ick of the week, Matt. Fellas, you can't wear a seatbelt.
See, that's another one that's just a red flag about the other person is what that is.
Yeah, it's just a very just lack of understanding of anything, really.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, now sometimes I do want to give a plug and, you know, just shout out to libertarians. Go YouTube a libertarian presidential debate on driver's licenses.
Are they just saying you shouldn't need one?
Most of them are. Gary Johnson tries to take the stance that they should exist. It's a good idea to certify who can drive somehow. What's more interesting, though, than the positions is just the booing or the cheering and the general shouting. It's like, you know how, like, the English Parliament is a lot crazier than our Senate? Yeah. It felt like that.
I'll check it out.
So, yeah.
I don't have a lot of YouTube political debates on my feed, so that might change my algorithm up.
Yeah, so I don't know if you want that or not, but so it's a lot of fun.
Maybe I'll do it on your account. Do you have a YouTube account, or do you just use mine?
No, I have, because it's just my Google account.
Okay, I might do it on yours if you've already watched it. Then, so that's the ick of the week, wearing a seatbelt. Shout out to Ron Swanson, I think everyone's favorite libertarian.
Course, yeah.
Okay, we'll get to the interview with Jonathan Brown. Then we'll come back, talk about some NFL Combine. Got, I think, a challenging top five. So we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. So we are joined by Jonathan Brown. Jonathan, really appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
So I'll let you introduce yourself. I was telling you off air, you do a bunch of kind of like funny basketball TikTok social media things, and that's kind of where I saw you. But do you just want to kind of introduce yourself, kind of your background, what you do for a minute or so?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Jonathan Brown. I'm now a fifth-year senior in college. I'm just about to finish my MBA. Originally, I'm from London, England. I've been playing basketball for, since I was 14. I think it's just something I eventually started getting into. It was pretty enjoyable. Came to America in 2019 in my freshman year. Most recently, I started getting into social media. I didn't realize that people were so relatable to things that have happened to me. So it's kind of just something I've just tried to get out there and just used to kind of leverage myself, really.
Yeah. Awesome. Let me start. So basketball in England, you know, us dumb Americans, we only think you guys play football. How'd you get into basketball over there?
So I played soccer for you guys, but I played football till I was essentially all my life. But there was a little period where I was in school. I'm an intelligent kid. I get my schoolwork done, but at the time I used to have a smart mouth, so I used to get in trouble with my teachers a lot. But my coach at the time, he was kind of like a hard nosed, no playing around coach. My teacher thought it'd be good for me to get in that, into that kind of environment where it's a no playing around. And so she was like, "Look, go see how it's gonna go." So I ended up going, and essentially I just fell in love with just getting better, basically.
That's funny. Is basketball like pop? Like, these are probably really dumb questions, but like the only other basketball player I know is Ovi from Love Island, who played for the British national team.
Yeah.
Is it popular though? Like, do people play pickup like they do here?
Yeah. So when I originally started playing, it was, you know, you only had a handful of kids here and there. The national team had a good selection of children, but the kind of talent pool was kind of low. Now it's a big sport. We have a couple guys in the NBA right now. We have Jeremy Sohan, who now plays for the Spurs. Tosin Awuzie, who just signed a two-way contract with the Grizzlies. I mean, with the Pistons, sorry. And so we have multiple guys in Division 1, Division 2, NAI, and it's starting to become a bigger sport as a whole, because even our domestic league back home, our London Lions compete in the European Cup. We have teams in all over Europe that compete. So it's picking up speed.
Decision like to try to come here, because I know you know Britain participates in the Euro League and the Euro Cup, but did you think about trying to do one of those development academies or one of their U21 teams, or did college basketball always seem like the right route?
I really had no idea college basketball really existed till about 17, 16-ish when I had guys that I would, you know, play pickup with, go over to the States and only come back during the summer. And I said, once I started taking basketball a little bit more seriously, I kind of looked into it and I was like, this is a good opportunity, you know, travel the world, free school, play against the best players in the world. I've had friends that I've played for, like European development leagues in Spain, and, you know, they're hard to get into because the majority of the time they take the domestic kids, but I felt like college was the best option for me.
What's it like? Because you started your career at the University of Montana, beautiful state. But what's it like going from London to Montana? Is that a bit of a culture shock?
So initially, I actually started my freshman year at Fresno Pacific, a Division II in California.
Oh, in Fresno?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, Fresno is not exactly the best part of What did you enjoy it? Food's great, obviously, but like, what's it like going when you heard California? Did you know it wasn't like LA or San Francisco? Did you know it was kind of in the valley?
Honestly, I thought all California was like the movies. Yeah. I thought it was like the movies, you know, sunshine and beaches everywhere, people are just happy, smiling, everything, whatnot. It's a big difference from what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, no, I don't want to bash Fresno unnecessarily. started in Fresno, and then did Montana recruit you? Were you trying to move up to Division One, or what was that process like?
Yeah, so obviously you guys don't know, but I've had like a long college process essentially. So I had left my Division Two, and I actually transferred down to an NAI, not down, but I transferred to an NAI school in Missouri called Central Methodist, where I played 2 years there. I graduated in 3 years, and then I was an All-American my second year there. So I wanted to, you know, go Division I. I wanted to, you know, try myself out. I always thought I was good enough. So I ended up going to Montana last year, which was a great experience, honestly. I wouldn't trade it for the world, honestly. I learned so much about myself, basketball. I love the state as a whole. It's a great place to be. Very aesthetically pleasing, great people. And then now, like, I essentially almost finished. I wanted to play more because I have aspirations of going pro. So I wanted to play more, kind of put myself on that pedestal that people can see that I can still play.
Yeah, because you're the University of Cumberland is in Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
So you've been all over the country.
Yeah, all over.
So not school wise, but just like state living wise, California, Missouri, Montana, Kentucky. What's been your favorite state to live in?
Montana. It's weird to say because the weather is freezing 9 months out of the year. Last year it would start snowing super, super early and it wouldn't stop snowing till like March. And although that was the case, as a state as a whole, especially in Missoula where I was, people were amazing. Like, once the weather picked up, hiking was amazing. The area was amazing. Good people, good places, a good school. And it was all around thoroughly enjoyable. Like, it was big enough of a city slash town that it was enough to do, but not racing constantly.
Yeah. Did you have a question? Oh, sorry. I was going to ask, so Montana's your favorite place. What's the best American food you've had compared to England?
Best American food. Does Mexico count as America?
Basically, yeah, especially if you're in Fresno.
Oh, yeah, so then definitely Mexican food, so like tacos and stuff like that.
It's so weird. Yeah, Mexican food is like it's so good, but it doesn't travel. Like, we've been in South America. They don't have it.
I spent
a few months in England and just never any real Mexican food at all. So I don't know what it is about that kind of food, but just doesn't want to go anywhere else.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It back home, I don't think I'd ever tried a taco before I came to America.
Do they even pretend to have Mexican food, or is it basically just British food and like your other European food?
It's basically British food, and like England is so diverse. So there's a lot of like. There's a lot of different foods and cultures, but I don't think I've been to a Mexican restaurant or anything that has anything close.
Have you been to an MLS game? I know you're not exactly in places that have MLS teams, but have you been to an American soccer game since you've been here?
I actually haven't. That's on my bucket list.
It's not the same. We both love soccer. So we love Real Salt Lake, the team in Utah.
Yeah,
we've been to like Copa America matches. I've seen La Liga matches. Matt, my brother's been to matches in England, and MLS is fun, but you can just tell it's such a different level compared to like European soccer.
Yeah, I was like, European soccer back home, football, it's, you could also compare it to like a cult following. People ride or die for their teams. You pick a team when you're like 6 years old and that's your personality. That's your team. You ride or die with them regardless how bad or good they get.
Well, that was my thing is I just went to like a second division Birmingham City. And I felt like there was like 42 different songs that everybody in the whole stadium knew all the words to. It was amazing.
Yep, everybody.
Yeah, people say like our football is the most passionate, but it doesn't compare to like actual football. And American football is my favorite sport, but like, if it's not even the same as far as like the passion, I think. Do you have a team? Do you have a club you support?
So I support Brentford. So I've kind of, growing up, I saw Brentford go from the League One all the way up to the Premier League. So that's kind of my local club. They're 5 minutes from my house, and so yeah,
that's pretty cool. Romeo Beckham, I think, is on like their U23s or something like that.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
that's super cool. So next step, so going pro, what does that look like for you? Try to go to the G League, play in Europe, or what are you thinking?
So, right, so obviously now the season's dwindling down. There's only got a few more games left right now. I'm, you know, talking to agents and stuff. So I'd like to, you know, maybe weasel my way into a G League situation, you know, see how that would pan out. But I'm more than happy to, that's kind of like my thing, to get overseas, Europe, Australia, those kind of places to, you know, essentially build my resume up and then work my way up higher and higher into the higher and higher leagues.
Yeah. Spain and France obviously have great leagues. And really, a lot of Europe. Does England have a league at all?
Yeah, so it's called the BBL. So there's one premier team that kind of a lot of teams kind of try to be like it. So they're called the London Lions. I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with Sam Dekker.
Yes.
Yeah, so he plays for the London Lions. Him, Kostas Koufos, who used to be in the League Two.
Oh yeah, he played for Utah.
Yeah, so they've had a right now they have a few previous NBA guys in there. A couple have been in and out of the team, and because they compete in the Euro Cup, so they're like the premier team. And teams now are trying to follow suit. They're bringing in better players. It's becoming more of a respected league around the world.
Interesting. Okay, so. And this is a dumb question again, but University of the Cumberlands where you're at, is that D2, what NAIA, what level is that?
So that's NAIA.
Do they, and I should know this, but do they do like a tournament like Division I, Division II, like a March Madness type tournament?
Yeah, so my team right now, we just finished 7th in the country in the last rankings. So we're rolling right now, and we're going to, for the NAIA National Tournament, it's going to be in March and everything. We're going to host the first two rounds. And then the final site is in a Municipal Stadium in Kansas City.
Oh, sick. Well, to try to check some of those games out.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be fun. Do any of your coaches, because I know sometimes coaches can just be dumb for dumb sake, have any issue with like the social media stuff, or do they just not care or think it's funny?
They think it's funny, actually, because a lot of it now doesn't apply to me right now because it's stuff that's happened to me in the past or stuff I've seen or stuff that's genuinely just funny to me.
Yeah, because that's why I thought you were at the University of Montana. They're doing more research. Like, oh, you're actually at the University of the Cumberlands now.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes a ton of sense. Do your teammate, like, do you get recognized at all, like, on campus or, like, your teammates or anything from it? Or is it just kind of, like, a fun hobby?
Yeah, in fact, since everything started becoming a lot bigger on social media, especially Instagram, I'd be playing games and the crowd would say, hey, I've seen you on Instagram. They'll try to take me out of my game talking about my TikTok and my Instagram. Other teams will talk about me. Other people on campus will be like, hey, I saw you on my For You page, on my Explore page the other day. That's wild.
That's funny. So tell me that, we'll go back to a basketball question, but you played at a bunch of different levels, multiple schools. Yeah. What's something about college basketball that, like, someone like me who enjoys it, but I'm not a player, not living that life, what's something, it can either be, like, a lifestyle thing, like, a actual, like, schematics thing, but, like, what's one of the differences between the different levels that most normal people wouldn't know?
So I'm going to use Division One as an example compared to the rest of the leagues I've had. So the schedule for Division One for the whole year, essentially going. So let's say you finish school in May and, you know, you have the whole of May off. But then as soon as May's done, 1st of June, you report back to school and you have summer workouts for 2 months. So you go from June 1st to August 1st. And then you're going into full workouts, lifting, all that kind of stuff for the whole summer. Playing pickup, open gym, all that kind of stuff. And then you get August off and you're straight back into it August 26th, 25th for school. And like some people don't know that the Division One schedule is constant. It's you get 2, 3, 4 days off for Christmas and you're back because you have a game on the 27th, for example. But you come down to these levels and a lot of stuff is, like, you get the whole summer off. So if you want to get better, it's really up to you. Like, if you don't work out, it's kind of, okay, you're going to get left behind because other guys are working out. But at Division One, essentially, you're forced to get better. And then at the lower levels, you get a little more time for Christmas to spend time with family. I feel like the Division One schedule is a little bit less manageable socially compared to the other levels. But it's also, I feel like you can excel at every level.
Is that just resources? Like the Division One can pay coaches more to be there? Or what do you think causes that difference?
I think that is resources wise. Obviously they have, you know, Division One schools have more money. They're able to do summer. All Division One schools do summer, like essentially a summer camp, essentially where you're there, your whole, the 2 months, some come in later. So they go the 2 months straight into school. It's also an NCAA guideline where you have to follow a certain amount of hours per week to be able to satisfy, or because you can't go over those.
Okay, makes sense for sure. Is there anything like on the recruitment process, like going from England to California to Missouri, that kind of maybe surprised you that you thought, oh, this isn't kind of what I expected? Or is it pretty, I guess, just talk kind of about the recruitment process, because you've gone through it quite a bit. What's that like? Any surprises there?
So the biggest one, obviously coming from England to America, I didn't know what to expect recruitment wise, because, you know, we're in a whole different country. My thinking is, how on earth are you finding me when you have so many hundreds of thousands of kids in America that are, you know, that you can see with your own eyes, you can go watch them play. And it's my high school did a really good job of having essentially a great bonds with coaches. That my school was a great pipeline. A lot of guys have gone to Division Ones, JUCOs, all levels of basketball, and have excelled. And so coaches are always looking back for players because of the people before. So, you know, it's like having a girlfriend. That's what recruitment is. That's what surprised me the most. It's like having a girlfriend. It's like trying to date, because you're answering the same questions all the time. They're all trying to get to know you. They're all trying to essentially date you for you to cut everybody else off and be exclusive with them. And that's what kind of surprised me. I thought it would be a little bit different than that, but it's an experience for sure. It's nice to be wanted by everybody, but it can become tedious.
That makes it sound miserable, because I hate those first dates over again.
Yeah.
That does sound tedious. Let's fast forward. Just one or two more questions. You know, 10 years, 20 years from now, whatever, you know, you're done with basketball, playing at least.
Mm.
Do you want to stay here? Do you want to be coaching? Go back to England? What's your game plan?
So I want to stay in the States. I feel like now I've been here 5 years. You know, I've only been home once, and now I feel like now, you know, I have connections here. I have people here, friends. And I feel like now sounds bad to say, but there's nothing much at home for me anymore. And so, yeah, I want to, you know, once I'm done with playing, I potentially want to go into the market, sports marketing. I feel like being an athlete for so long, I don't see myself not being involved in sports in one way, shape, or form. So,
that makes sense. Well, we'll love to hear that you've enjoyed America. Now, one question, because I think basketball especially is like so unique, because it's compared to football, either football, it's like massive stadiums. Basketball, you're just like crammed into the stadium. The fans can be on top of you. Yeah. What's been the funnest or like coolest road environment you've played at any level?
So 2 years ago, I was at Miami High School and we played BYU. And they had just beat Oregon the day, like a couple of days before by 40. They were the number 12 team in the country at the time. And we were, you know, a small NAI school. And it's called something called a buy game, where essentially high level teams pay lower level teams to go and play them. For them, it's essentially a guaranteed win. Some of them do get upset. Sometimes there's been a lot of upsets this year. And so I was there, sold out crowd. There's 10,000 people in there. They've done their research. They know my name. They know my stats. They've got my Instagram. They've got my social medias. They're pulling up old pictures of me. You know, they've got all these nicknames for me. We're playing the game. I'm on the baseline about to inbound the ball. They're all screaming my name. They're like, hello, governor. Do you want a cup of tea? Do you want a bottle of water? All that kind of good stuff. But I had a good game that game. I ended up having, 24 points that game. Obviously, we hung in the first half, but the second half we lost. But it's kind of surreal to see the following that college basketball gets, and how deep the tradition is rooted.
That's so funny, because that's actually where Matt and I both went to BYU.
Oh, crazy.
So we lit up. That's so funny. What did you think of Provo? Because it's pretty unique. I guess you didn't spend a ton of time there.
We spent about 4 or 5 days in Provo. I actually like it. I like it a lot. I feel like there's a lot to do. There's a lot of people. It's different for sure. I feel like it's very different from, you know, the regular city. But it's something that is, you know, there's three universities pretty close together. There's Utah State, BYU, Utah Valley, and Utah in a pretty close enough vicinity. It's an enjoyable place for sure.
That's so funny. Because we were, obviously we're not in college anymore, but we were part of the, like, we would camp out for games and do all that stuff. Not the ringleaders or anything, but that's so funny. Well, great shout out for our alma mater there. Yeah, Jonathan, really appreciate you coming on. So your Instagram, jbrown235.
Yes, sir.
Is TikTok the same?
TikTok is jonathanbrown454.
454, perfect. I'll do a bunch of tagging of that so people can check you out, because it's super funny stuff. Also relatable, though, which is what makes it so funny. Really appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you for having me, honestly.
All right, welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. Big thanks to Jonathan Brown, Brentford supporter, Jonathan Brown.
Yeah, also another Brentford supporter, Kyle Copier, coming on the show within the next month, I believe.
Is this turning into a Brentford podcast?
It could.
He knew, Romeo Beckham plays for him. Yeah. He was on top of that. You know who else played basketball in England, but he moved to America when he was 14? Is maybe my favorite player, Luol Deng.
Oh, hey. Yeah, because you are a big Luol Deng fan.
Love Luol Deng. Have a Bulls Luol Deng jersey. I forgot, because he played high school here is why I forgot, but he grew up and like played in England like as a youth.
Interesting.
I don't remember when he moved from Sudan to England. But anyway, Luol Deng, English basketball. Also, obviously, Ovi talked about it with Jonathan Brown from Love Island.
Yeah.
Did not know Sam Decker. That explains why his wife, who I'm blanking on her name, but she was a SportsCenter anchor, why I haven't seen her in a while.
Oh, I didn't know that. So I don't know who we're talking about. But anyway.
She was very good.
Oh, well, good.
But then she wasn't on ESPN for a while. I guess it's because she lives in England.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Anyway, NFL Combine. It's literally starting today, so there's not a lot to talk about. But I think it's worth bringing up. The defensive, like the edge rushers are unbelievable athletes. Chop Robinson ran, I think, a 4.68. No, it might have even been faster. It was like something absurd.
Very fast.
These guys are huge. Like, that is so fast.
Right. Yeah, no, that's because like the average person is probably running, 4.95, maybe like 5.5 seconds. I don't actually know.
Over five.
Yeah.
100%. It bugs me when people – the thing about the combine is there's always the people like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's just running around in your underwear, watch the tape. And, like, not every single thing matters, you're right. But, like, for defensive linemen, you want the 10-second split on the 40, vertical jump, explosiveness. Cornerbacks, the 40 – that's the most important one is 40s for the corners.
Right.
Wide receivers doing, like, the short shuttle or three-cone drill, like your change of direction – like, not everything matters, and it obviously doesn't matter more than football, but it either, if you do great at the combine, you can go back, watch a tape, and like, hey, is he coachable? Or if you do bad, like, there's just some threshold, arm length, hand size, that people make fun of, but it does matter.
Yeah, no, there are a couple times where we've been watching, and the guy's fumbled the ball because it was raining, and you brought up the hand size from the combine.
Kenny Pickett has to wear those stupid gloves, because his hands are small.
Yeah.
Now, Joe Burrow had, I think, average hands or, like, slightly below average, and he's obviously fine. So, like I said, it's not the most important thing in the world, but it does matter.
Yeah, it's something.
More information is never bad.
Yeah, for sure.
That's like with analytics. Like, it doesn't mean you have to have that decide 100% of everything, but knowing the probabilities, the analytics, all it does is help inform your decision.
Yeah, no, definitely not going to hurt, so... Are you seeing anybody in the combine who you think could really help their draft stock, or maybe should avoid doing some drills because they might hurt their draft stock?
Well, if we're looking at the top, so the top three receivers are in some order: Marvin Harrison Jr., from Ohio State, Malik Nabers from LSU, Romo Odunze from Washington. Marvin Harrison Jr. he's doing interviews, but he's not weighing in, not running, not doing anything. From my understanding, Malik Nabers is not either, which is crazy because he's like a freak athlete, so he'd blow it out of the water. But Romo Odunze is. So I think if he runs well and like tests well, has like a explosive vert, I think that could put him in the conversation. He's already in the conversation to go ahead, Nabers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of just a pick your flavor type thing anyways. But if he tests well, I think that really helped his stock to be the number two receiver taken.
Yeah.
Not that Neighbors isn't great. Like, Neighbors, I don't think is hurting his stock, but I think he'd solidify it more if he was working out, because he is that is his best thing is his athleticism, his 0 to 60, his burst, his change of direction. But if Odunze tests well, I think he'd be real exciting. Chop Robinson, defensive end, who ran today. I was watching him run and test while I was at work. He's the one who ran. It might have been like a 5. It was something unbelievable for a defensive end. And his thing at Penn State, he's a freak athlete. Penn State has one of the best strength and development programs in the country as far as college football goes. But there were some questions regarding his play, like the actual on-the-field play.
Uh-huh.
But it's hard for teams to pass up a defense. And, again, you're never running that 40 yards as a defensive end. So it's not that that matters, but it's the athleticism and the explosiveness. And his 10 split, I think I forgot what it was, but it was really low. I think he could likely go in the first round just from the testing, where before he wasn't getting marked in the first round at all. But I wouldn't be surprised if after those numbers he went in the first round because of that.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, no, he's a freak. Because NFL teams are like, you know, we can find someone who knows how to play in the fifth round, but you're not going to find an athlete in the fifth round.
Yeah, definitely.
For some teams, it matters more than others, of course.
Now, are any of the quarterbacks going to participate in the drills this year? Are they going to skip them like they have for the last three or four?
So the top three guys are not Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, whatever order you want to put those in. They're not throwing. I don't think they're doing any drills. Did you know Lamar Jackson didn't run the 40 when he came out?
No, I didn't know that.
Do you know what Josh Allen's was? I only know this because I was watching this stuff today. I don't, like, have it memorized.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be really good. I mean, 4.53.
It was 4.78. It was kind of sucked.
Oh, interesting.
It looks faster when he's, like, jumping over people.
So he's just, like, strong and athletic. He's just massive, more.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool.
But also, like, Stetson Bennett, like, he didn't go 100% on his 40 because he didn't want to be pigeonholed into, like, an athlete. And that's why when Lamar is coming out, they were like, oh, we want you to play receiver. And obviously, he's very good at quarterback.
I mean, maybe I was not paying attention to the Stetson Bennett thing. So was Stetson Bennett afraid of moving to the receiver? Because I feel like for him,
he was afraid of getting pigeonholed as just this guy who runs really fast. Because he is kind of, when I say deceptively athletic, he's just white and athletic.
Yes.
You know? But, and he didn't come out and say, like, oh, I only ran 75%. It just looked like he didn't run that fast.
Right.
And he still ran like a 4.6 or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, regarding the quarterbacks this year, so JJ McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, kind of the next group of guys, they're all throwing. So I think it'll be interesting to see those three guys throw next to each other. Last year, CJ Stroud. Wait, Anthony Richardson threw. I felt like CJ Stroud did too. Now, I'm only like 90% sure, so I don't want to put my name on that. But I'm like, I thought Anthony Stroud and CJ Richardson threw next to each other and then compared to everybody else. Like, both of those helped each other, helped themselves.
Yeah.
By throwing.
Right. I mean, I would think, like, I haven't really heard of a quarterback, like, missing a bunch of throws. I mean, I'm sure it's happened at some point, but
it's tough because, like, at the Senior Bowl, Bo Nix and Michael Penix both kind of had weird weeks, but, like, they're using NFL balls for basically the first time. It sounded like just a lot of the balls were new, and quarterbacks typically, like, scuffing them up. Like, our high school quarterbacks would, like, you know, throw them on the ground or, like, just literally have them all the time to scuff them up.
Yeah.
I would imagine at the NFL they're scuffing them up, but they probably don't want to – they probably are throwing now to kind of get the Senior Bowl out of their head.
Yeah.
Out of the minds of the teams, at least.
Interesting. That makes sense.
It is tough with the receivers, you don't know, but also I think they care more about, like, what the ball looks coming out of your hands than, like, hitting exact, you know what I mean, than the actual routes.
Yeah. Running. I would have a hard time thinking the Senior Bowl matters very much for anything. I mean, clearly it does, because otherwise I wouldn't do it.
It doesn't matter for quarterbacks. It does, but it really doesn't, just because you're running a vanilla offense. There's not a lot of checks. Everything's kind of basic. Senior Bowl matters more for offensive and defensive line. Like, the one-on-ones in practice matter a lot more than the actual game.
Uh-huh.
But offensive linemen, defensive linemen, wide receivers, cornerbacks, like, linebackers it's just like what they do with running backs, like what they do in the practice is tough to emulate and is not relatable to like what they want in the game, in the actual games, which is like tackling, closing in space, covering. Even defensive backs, the one-on-ones, like they're at such a disadvantage from the receivers, but if you look good in the one-on-ones, then it's very helpful.
Right.
There was someone else I was going to mention as far as helping that I don't remember, but I am interested to see those three quarterbacks throw. Also, Nate Wiggins, cornerback from Clemson. We're only talking about like first round guys, but he's someone I think will test well and I think will help himself a lot.
Uh-huh.
Nate Wiggins from Clemson. Also, Utah kid Jonah Ellis, defensive end. He's pretty small, so he like has to test well. Because you can't be small and unathletic.
Right. Yeah, no, that definitely makes
And when
sense.
I say small, it's 245.
Yeah.
But just compared to an edge, he's small, you know. Brock Bowers, I'm interested to see how he tests. I kind of think he is what he is, which is a very good player, but I'm still interested to see how he's one of the more interesting people I'm watching here. Mm-hmm. I think the combine's fascinating.
Yes, yeah, no, that's, you definitely get more out of the combine than anybody else I know, so.
Well, I'm thinking, like, I was texting my fantasy football chat about it, because, like, it matters, like, especially if we're talking about, like, fantasy football, like, the 40, change of direction, the three cone, like, all those receiver drills matter, and they, like, didn't even pay attention to it at all.
Yeah, no, yours, I imagine you're talking about your dynasty fantasy league where you keep the same players over and over.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is why you have to draft these rookies coming
exactly,
out.
Yeah. But, like, Treylon Burks, when he came out of Arkansas, and you – good trade for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Because that was – the Titans picked him with the pick that you gave him instead of A.J. Brown.
Uh-huh.
Treylon Burks was awesome at Arkansas. Terrible change of directions at the 40. So, I thought he was, like, the best receiver before the combine. After that, I was like, no, thank you. Not interested. Don't want him.
Right.
And he's had a disappointing career.
Yeah.
Kelvin Benjamin, I thought, was awesome in college. It was awesome in college.
I remember Kelvin Benjamin.
Well, he couldn't separate, couldn't change direction, and he became like a tight end and then out of the league.
That's crazy, yeah.
But think how good it was in college.
Yeah, no, he was super good in college.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it kind of – there are baselines. Like, you have to be able to do at least a minimum amount of this stuff. The bench press is fun. It doesn't really matter, you know?
Yes, yeah. That one seems to matter the least, even for, like, linemen.
Yeah, because it's fun, and I think it's impressive, obviously, but it's not, like, the most important. Like, I don't care about that one really at all.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, no, I think it's important. I'm excited. I think – because I've been consuming a lot of, like, mock draft, NFL draft stuff, things like that. But it's also gotten to a point, it's like, we've talked about it ad nauseum. Nothing's going to change until after the combine at this point.
Yeah.
And then definitely. After the combine, I think there will be a lot of changes, a lot of movements. I'm excited. I'm interested to see the two receivers on the board here, Troy Franklin from Oregon and Keon Coleman from Florida State. Interesting to see how it's just a lot of people like, I just want to see their numbers. Like, how do they play? How do they change direction? And then you go back and watch them with that information. Like, oh, they do play fast. Oh, you're right. He does struggle opening his hips or change direction or whatever. So it's just kind of confirming the tape. It's not what you're basing it off of, but you're matching it up with how they played and what they put on the field.
Mm-hmm. Now this is, I guess changing subjects a little bit only because it's on the screen. I remember Caleb Williams, or maybe it was his dad, talking about how he didn't want to go into the draft if the Browns or the Bears didn't trade the number one pick. Feels like that's not happening. It feels like he's going to the draft.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, he's in the draft. Like, yeah. No, I think, some of that was not from Caleb. I don't know how much of it was from his dad or someone else, but I don't think a lot of that was Caleb.
Right.
Like, because he said, like, and I think he kind of has to say this. His agent probably told him, like, hey, this is what you say, but he's like, I'll play for whoever. I'll be excited for whoever, which I don't get. Like, if I'm Caleb, I'm like, I mean, I think Chicago with the draft capital would actually be a decent spot, but let's say generally you don't want to play for the team. Like, pull a John Elway, pull an Eli Manning. It's your career.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it worked for both of those guys. I've
never had a problem with the very few instances that actually happens. Honestly, most of the stuff that people have a problem with Caleb, I either think is neutral or like a positive.
Right. Yeah. Because thinking about, like, there's a lot of jobs that, like, I would love that job. It's like, and you got to go do it. in Detroit or something. And I just say Detroit because it's far. It could be like anywhere.
And cold.
Know? And cold. Yeah.
Here the food's good. Here the pizza's good.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I wouldn't want to go. If like you, like you say literally probably once a week, it sucks Zach Wilson went to the Jets.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Literally all the time.
Just horrible, horrible situation. Like who? Like the best quarterback they've had is Mark Sanchez that they've drafted in our lifetime.
Oh, in our lifetime? Yeah, I was going to say Joe Namath, obviously, but in our lifetime, I mean, he's the one who went to two AFC championships with him. I know quarterback wins aren't a thing, but maybe Chad Pennington?
Yeah. Yeah, he was good.
I'd say either Chad Pennington or Mark Sanchez, one of the two.
Yeah, but even Chad Pennington, that was kind of like when we were kids though, still. Like, it's
like
been
when we were conscious of football, that's who was starting.
It's been a long time
yeah.
since him.
That's like the first quarterback I remember for the Jets is Chad Pennington and that dumb face mask that quarterbacks used to wear.
Yeah. It's crazy you remember face masks from back then.
It's crazy you can't tell the difference between face masks.
I mean, I can. It just doesn't seem important.
I think it's interesting. I think it's fun.
Yeah, the only time I really notice is if they do that like a spider web thing or like that mouth guard that has like 42 different
like
stripes
the,
across
the defensive it. Lineman that just
yeah
like a robot looking thing.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe it's because, like, when I played, I was like, oh, I want or don't want this helmet. So maybe that's why. Yeah. Anyway. Speaking of the combine, top five this week, I already gave you the number one. But it's kind of tough to do a combine-related one because, you know, guessing the fastest 40s who ran them, truly impossible because most of the guys aren't in the league.
Right. Yeah.
Or any of the actual drills. So what we did is, by school, the top five most combine invites per school per year. So, just rehashing the rules. Matt has eight guesses, basically. He can get three wrong to guess the five. Now, luckily for him, he already knows number one. And there's six schools tied for third. So, I think he's going to get it if we're being realistic. But...
yeah, I mean, there's some I've got to do. Now, can I ask when the combine started?
It was at least 30. All of these are within the last decade.
Yeah.
Last 20 years.
Right, because it's not like Yale was sending people to an NFL combine, for example. Right.
You know, actually, on this list, there might not even be five schools. There's six schools on this list.
Okay. So. Well, that actually works out because you already told me Michigan.
Yeah.
And so I'll just guess.
You're going to get this.
I'll guess the other five on the list. So Alabama has to be one.
Yeah, they're on it just one time. 2018, they had 14.
Okay. Oh, so this is for the most ever.
Yeah.
Oh, but like in one particular year.
Yeah, most ever. Sorry, one particular year.
Cool.
Or we could do this year if you want.
Okay, no, we'll just do let's do overall because that'll be a little bit easier.
That's very easy.
Yeah. Georgia, I imagine, from one of these crazy defenses they've had recently.
Yeah, 2022, they had 14.
Okay, so Michigan, Georgia, Alabama.
And I will say Michigan's on it twice as well. So Michigan at 2017 had 14, this year at 18, which is a record.
Okay. What about one
so
of those
three?
One of those Clemson teams.
Not Clemson.
No Clemson. Well, I guess since teams can go twice.
But I'm just counting like you already got Alabama and Michigan. Like,
oh, so I don't need to guess.
Right.
Oh, okay, I see. So who have I got? I've got Alabama, Michigan, Georgia.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
Yep. 2016, they had 14.
Okay. And
so there's two more schools. You just need to guess one of them.
Okay. And do I have one strike or two strikes?
One strike.
Okay. I mean, I'm tempted to say USC from like the Reggie Bush years, but I want to say no. So I'm going to hold off on that. I think what's going to be more likely is Oklahoma.
Not Oklahoma. So that's two strikes.
Okay.
So you're just like very good college teams, like the best college teams, like individual seasons goes back about 20 years.
Oh,
at least,
Miami.
Did I lead you astray? I was trying to get you to say USC.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you said it's crazy that Miami's not on the list, though.
Also, LSU from 2020 is the second team.
Oh, okay.
With like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, not the Miami from that 99 or 2000. That,
no, that's the,
that feels like they could have had like 28 guys in that fight to the combine one of those years.
I feel like whenever you get it wrong, it's my fault. Because I was trying to give you a hint to guess the USC team, but yeah. Or the LSU team.
Yeah. Right. No, you're good.
Apologies. Now, I will say something dumb. So, apparently this company called Noble is sponsoring, like, the combine gear that the athletes wear.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't, like, I don't know. I think it looks dumb. The Under Armour ones look dumb usually, too, but.
Right.
Is what it is. Well, appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate Jonathan Brown for coming on the show. Super interesting guy. Really great talk about him. We are going to get into some March Madness stuff. Baseball's coming up as well. NFL draft, soccer. So we'll be talking about, you know, that kind of mix of sports. Oh, really quick before we go. Jackson Dart, private jet NIL deal. Did you see that?
What?
So they're giving him private jet hours. They didn't say how many hours.
Oh, so this is something that, like, he's not going to be in commercials. This is a, this is the schools put together their fund, and this is a reward for him, basically.
No, apparently it's through Nicholas Ayer. I mean, I guess we're talking about.
I mean, that's what they have to say, but.
Well, you know, like, what I mean? Because they're the ones, like, I think he will be in commercials. He's already been in a couple of commercials. And they're the ones who, like, on, like, the Manning, Eli's or Peyton's places who are flying the Manning's around, and they had a commercial at the end of those things.
Okay, so doing an Ole Miss guy kind of makes sense.
It probably, maybe it's an Oxford company or like in the South, yeah, because it's like the second or third, and I think that's what Lane Kiffin uses as well.
Interesting.
So I think they just, it's maybe it's an Ole Miss grad.
Yeah, could but be.
First private jet deal, and Reggie Bush, you know, doesn't have a Heisman.
Yeah, that, I feel like they, my prediction in the next 10 years, that they're going to give him that Heisman back.
They need to. They should.
Now, if they give him the Heisman back, do they have to give USC the wins back?
They also should do that.
No.
They shouldn't. I think it's so dumb.
I agree, but anyway.
What do you do? Well, justice for Reggie. Appreciate everybody listening. Again, I always forget to do this at the beginning, but if you're here, you probably have done this already. But 5 stars, comment, review, subscribe, you know, all that good stuff. We'll talk to you guys next week.